This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
Even in the hyper-partisan atmosphere of Washington, D.C., Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson keeps turning heads lately. Johnson has said a lot, from questioning the results of the election to downplaying the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. The comments strike many political observers as a clear sign that Johnson will seek a third term in the Senate at a time when the Republican Party's base still supports Donald Trump. Sean Johnson reports.
A recent Senate hearing on the insurrection started out harmoniously. Senators from both parties had just weathered the siege together a few weeks earlier. They pledged to work together to find out what happened. There were pointed questions from Democrats like Minnesota's Amy Klobuchar.
Would you agree that this attack involved white supremacists and extremist groups?
Yes.
Okay.
And Republicans like Ohio's Rob Portman.
Why wouldn't we be prepared for an infiltration of the Capitol?
And testimony from law enforcement leaders who were at the Capitol on January 6th, like former U.S. Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund.
I witnessed insurgents beating police officers with fists, pipes, sticks, bats, metal barricades, and flagpoles. These criminals came prepared for war.
But the tone changed when it was Ron Johnson's turn. Instead of asking questions, he spent most of his time reading someone else's account of what happened that day from the conservative website, The Federalist. It described the mood of the crowd that attended Trump's Stop the Steal rally on January 6th as positive and festive.
Many of the marchers were families with small children. Many were elderly, overweight, or just plain tired or frail. Traits not typically attributed to the riot prone.
The article referenced four groups of people who stood out: militants, provocateurs, fake Trump protesters, and disciplined attackers. As Johnson read from the piece, he paused to offer his take.
I think these are the people that probably planned this.
The comments rubbed many in the room the wrong way. After all, on January 6th, they were whisked away with Johnson to secure locations when rioters overtook the Capitol, including the Senate chamber. It wasn't the first time Johnson had hinted at these ideas. Weeks earlier, Johnson went on conservative talk radio to question whether the insurrection was actually armed. Larry Sabato directs the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia. He says people are surprised that Johnson is minimizing what happened.
It was an historic event, and it's going to be remembered a lot longer than Senator Johnson is.
A.B. Stoddard is an associate editor and columnist at Real Clear Politics. She says she knows Johnson, and she thinks he knows what he's saying isn't real. Her theory is that he's saying it anyway to try to win over Trump's GOP base.
You know, he's basically going where the wind is blowing. You know, his voters are asking for this, and he wants that job.
Johnson's office didn't respond to a request for an interview. He hasn't said yet whether he'll seek a third term. In 2016, Johnson promised he would not run again.
This will be my last term. I'll never vote my reelection mind because I'll never stand for reelection again.
Johnson has since walked back that pledge. Stoddard and Sabato say Johnson has changed since he was first elected. Back then, he ran as a political outsider and businessman who was fixated on reducing the debt. But Christian Schneider, a conservative writer and columnist who had behind-the-scenes access to Johnson's first campaign, sees a common thread. In 2010, Johnson's staff went to great lengths to get him to be more cautious at a time when he would frequently go off message. It never quite worked, but Johnson won anyway.
If there's any lesson that he's probably learned, it's to trust his gut. And his gut right now is telling him to kind of be the most pro-Trump senator imaginable.
This week, Johnson has moved on to a new issue, attacking President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 bill. But he didn't just debate the bill. Johnson forced Senate clerks to read the entire thing aloud, hour after hour, to a nearly empty Senate chamber.
402A2 of Division N of the Consolidated Appropriations Act 2021, Public Law 116-260.
Democrats said the move would only delay $1,400 checks and extended jobless benefits to Americans who need them. While the parliamentary tactic is exceedingly rare in the Senate, it seemed like familiar territory for Johnson, who these days jumps quickly from one controversy to the next. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.